July 16th, 2015. This is our group coaching call. So I see that Mary is here, so I'm going to start with you. Hold on a sec. Hey.
Hey.
All right. So
Meryl I just had an accountability call with Meryl. And uh-huh. He wanted me to tell you that he's going to try and get on, but he's on the road. So I don't know if his car has a phone in it or what. But
okay.
He's wrapping up his real estate deal about his mother's house today. So
okay,
he may not
great.
Be able to attend.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you. And you were mentioning the other day that you got – your first sign-up, was that somebody who was signing up for the courses that are provided by the company that you work with?
Actually, she signed up for the blogging platform. And then the courses are an upsell from that. I'm not sure where she came from. That's one
of
the
drawbacks. Did you speak to her on the phone, or did it just show up in your...
No, it just showed up. I have her
okay.
phone number, but I have not been able to get her to pick up when I call.
Okay. Is your guess that she somehow landed on your site, read one of your blog posts or something, and signed up? Is that what's your best guess?
Yeah, something like that. Possibly since I post my blogs all over social media, I would imagine she found me through that pathway.
Okay, great. Wonderful. And when you called her, have you left messages?
I have left one message on her phone. I have messaged her, at least I think it's her, on Facebook. I have sent emails to the email address she left. I'm scheduled to call her again this afternoon. She's East Coast. And try the phone again today.
Okay. When you left messages and when you sent emails, what did you say?
I said, congratulations on your purchase. You're eligible to be part of a masterminding team on Facebook, and I'm willing to give you any help that you might feel you need, any direction that you might feel you need. Feel free to call me.
Okay. One thing that you can add to that can help with getting a response.
Mm-hmm.
Is you phrased all of those things beautifully. It was very warm. It was very inviting. You've got the congratulations in there. That's awesome. And what I have found with leaving sort of messages or communications that are inviting without saying sort of a stronger I don't know how to phrase it, but like maybe intention is the word, is that when it's an invitation, like feel free to call me, if they don't feel like calling you, they don't. Or
mm-hmm.
if they're shy or if they're busy, they just let it go because it doesn't feel like, my sense is they don't feel like you need a response. When I've done it like
okay.
that, it seems like I don't get as much of a response because they don't feel like I'm waiting for a response. It more feels like it's an invitation. And for that matter, they can feel sometimes bad to bother you.
Okay.
Like, you know, she was so nice to say feel free to contact her, but she's probably very busy, and who am I? I'm just some person who just signed up for this little thing. You know, I probably don't want to annoy her or bother her or take advantage of her. So it's possible that
better
with an invitation, people feel sheepish. Well, I think another thing that could work is to say, congratulations for signing up. I wanted to get to speak to you so I could personally welcome you and get you set up.
Okay.
And so when you say, like, I want to speak to you so I can personally welcome you, it's like then they can feel like, oh, well, that is so sweet. She wants to, you know, connect and personally welcome me. She wants to personally welcome me, not I need to reach out and inconvenience her possibly. And so it feels more like it feels like you're not just sort of doing a lackadaisical invitation. Sometimes people feel like when others say, like, feel free to contact me, it's more of a formality, or they can feel that way. Whereas if you kind of just really say, like, I'm calling you because I, you know, I wanted to personally welcome you into the program. I also wanted to answer any questions, make sure that you got set up all right. So please give me a call back at. And that way, she knows for certain that you really are serious about being willing to give her time and welcome her, and that it's a very strong invitation versus sort of a possibly polite one, but not one that's seriously meant, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh, yeah. And then another thing I've done is to open a PayPal business account. But I don't see anywhere in their options where I can just enter a credit card number and charge it.
Well, any questions you have with PayPal, you can click the Contact Us button.
Okay.
And contact them. They contact their technical support, and they'll answer any questions and help you set anything up.
Okay.
And so, you know, the what I remember of the business account is that there's something called virtual terminal, and that's where you type it in. However, it's better if you actually just sit with someone from PayPal on the phone and have them guide you.
Yeah.
Because they'll do that, so for free. So it's not, you know, a problem to do so.
Just from reading the instructions, it looked like they were putting it all on the buyer to enter the number rather than the seller. They give you buttons for your website. They give you an opportunity to send them an email that they must enter their...
did you sign up for an account that doesn't have a cost every month? Is there a cost?
Yes.
For the business account?
No, this is a free one.
Okay. That's possibly why.
That's the problem. Okay.
Yeah. So... in the beginning, you can stick with that since you don't want to incur any extra cost. The challenge with that is I find it's a lot easier for when you're talking to someone on the phone and if you're doing a consult to, at the end of the consult, say, okay, what card would you like to put this on? They give you the information, and then that's done. They don't have themselves need to do any extra steps to make things happen. And what I have seen in the past is that when people are all ready and they say that they want to sign up and everything's ready to go, and you send them something where they have to then open an email, take the extra step to go look for the email, open the email, click on the payment link, put in all the information themselves, there's just so many extra steps that for whatever reason, and there can be a multitude of reasons, it's not as effective as when you just take care of it for them and there's no extra, you know, if you understand internet marketing, you'll know that extra clicks and extra work for people usually deters sales.
Yeah.
And so in the beginning, since you don't want to incur any extra costs, what I would suggest is when you have someone who is ready to sign up for something, what you do in PayPal, this free version, is you create all the payment links you want ahead of time and you store them on some document on your computer. So you've got one for, I don't know if the free version allows you to do subscriptions. Do you know if it does, recurring payments? When you call PayPal later, ask them if the free version allows you to have recurring payments through a button. If you want to write that down.
I remember seeing something like that, but I don't remember if that was at the end point. I'll take a look at it.
Yeah. So when it comes to signing up clients for your programs and you have a 6-month minimum, you'll need to either have a way to take their credit card, and you have their credit card number, and you'll have to type it in by hand each month on the same day of the month, which when you're first starting out, you can absolutely do because you only have a few clients. It's not going to take up a lot of extra time. The only thing that you need to be cautious of is that you must remember to do it on the same day of the month every month. So if that's something that's easy to forget or accidentally let slip, it's much better to just have the recurring payments. So if I remember correctly, if nothing has changed, it's $30 a month to have Virtual Terminal, which is the one where you can type it in by hand yourself every month.
Right.
And it's $60 a month to upgrade so that there's recurring payments and everything is automated and you just set it up once and then the system does it for you and there's no mistakes. The problem with mistakes is when you forget to charge their card on the day of the month that you're supposed to do it, you then have to call them and make sure that you can do it on a different day of the month because you forgot to run it on the day that you were meant to. But a number of things can happen. Huh?
Is that a Federal Trade Commission rule?
No, it's more of a politeness rule.
Okay.
Because people can be upset with you that, you know, people manage their money in different ways. And what can happen is they may have planned it so that you're taking money out on a day that they know they have money. And the very next day, their account is debited for their mortgage or their rent. And you end up overdrawing their account and fining them if you do it on a different day than is planned. And so that plus when they're expecting it to be for some people, when they're expecting it to be on a certain day and it isn't, for whatever reason, however they manage their funds, it's just upsetting to them. Other folks, it doesn't matter, but you never know who you've got, right?
Right.
And so you'll always end up needing to call them and confirm that it's okay. And the problems you run into are that they don't respond to your call, your email quickly. And then you start running into a week later before they contact you back, sometimes longer. And then you've messed up your payment system. Now they're actually past due on stuff, and it changes their program because I always suggest don't give any private sessions unless it's already been paid off, unless they've already accrued that amount of payment in their tuition. So then now you have to change the program, and it just causes problems. So if you're going to start out at the later point when you're doing Virtual Terminal and you're paying $30 a month, you'll need to create like multiple reminder systems to make sure that you don't forget, like having your phone have an alarm that beeps at you, using Wunderlist, having that beep at you, using Google Calendar, having that beep at you, so that you're certain that it doesn't get out of pattern, basically, out of flow.
Right.
And so in the meantime, you'll want to find out if – oh, good, Jenna's here. Jenna, your mic is still on mute just for the sake of not having background sound, and I'll unmute it in just a sec as I finish up this topic. As you're beginning, find out whether or not the buttons that PayPal lets you have allow for recurring payment. And if not, I would say with your first client, you're just going to have to get their credit card number and start paying for Virtual Terminal off of the funds that you're earning from them. So even if you're only earning $97 per month from the first client, I would still use $30 to pay for the Virtual Terminal thing, because otherwise every month you're going to have to send them something that they have to then do. And in my experience, it just does not work well.
They won't do it, yeah.
They won't pay on time. It'll ruin the program. All the sessions will get backed up. They'll get huffy.
It'd be perfect if they select a 6 month option, 6 month one payment.
Yes, if that happens, so what you can do is you can pre-create payment buttons that do that. So let's say somebody is happy to pay 6 months up front.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be very careful with reminding people it is not a 6 month program. It is a 6 month minimum.
Right.
When you first pay for that 6 month minimum up front, I let you save an extra 5%. It's a great bonus. And then people, you know, who are like, oh, that sounds good, extra 5% savings, why not?
Yeah.
And here's the method. You'll need to take that payment link and have it ready before you get on your consultation call so that when it gets to that point, you say to them, great, next step is I'm going to email you a link so that you can get the 5% off right now. So are you by your computer? And, of course, they were because you had to send them the other stuff first. You have them open the email, click on the link, and you walk them through doing the payment while you're on the phone with them.
Uh-huh.
And then you begin to say the other wrap-up stuff like, wonderful, now that that's taken care of, I'm going to send you your welcome email. Let's book our first session. Well, you already would have said, let's book our first session before the payment.
Yeah.
So our first session is next Tuesday at 8 p.m. You know,
yeah.
I'm so excited to get to and you do all the wrap-up stuff.
Right.
So that's how you could do it in the beginning. And just find out if PayPal will let you have recurring payment buttons or if there's any way to have access to the virtual terminal from the free account.
Yeah, maybe for 30 days.
Those are the two questions to ask. And I'm going to bring Jenna on. Jenna, hi.
Hello.
How are you, darling?
You? Yeah, I'm fine.
So you've, the last update I heard was you had two or three consultation calls so far. Has that number changed?
Yeah. I think I've done five now this week. It was six by Monday. So I've done them. And I had two sign-ups. And then there was one that I referred to you.
Uh-huh.
And then there was a chap who wasn't able to take, who loved it, and he wasn't able to take on the offer at the time because he had life priorities. But he was so sweet because he sent me a message. He sent me an email afterwards saying, I really love what you're doing and I know that, you know, we'll be able to work together in the future. I appreciate your time. Can I send you a little payment as a thank you?
Wow.
So that was really sweet. I know.
Nice.
That's really sweet. And then my first coaching, because the client who signed up, my first consult was my first client, and we had our first session together today, like proper session today. So
mm-hmm.
that was cool. But I was listening to what you were saying to Mary about PayPal, and what I did when I took the payment during the consult was to have PayPal set up and all the paper, all the stuff ready. The email was there in the box, ready to go. So all I had to do was just press send, and she sent the payment straight away because it hit her. Because I wasn't expecting it, but I just ran with it, and it hit her inbox straight away, and she paid me straight away. But I think I was listening to what you're saying about having to set up a reminder. I've got a conversation to have with PayPal about how best to efficiently use it because I have to buy the virtual terminal myself, which is like 50 quid.
You're breaking up a little bit, Jenna.
Can you hear me now?
It's actually, I can hear you now. And so you were saying the way that you did it with her is that did you send her a payment link in an email?
Yeah. You know, you go to PayPal. I asked her first of all. She had PayPal, and how would you like to pay for it? How would you like to pay? What card would you like to put it on? Would you like to pay by PayPal? And she said yes, she'd prefer PayPal.
So I'd already had the PayPal link set up. So, you know, like when you go into PayPal, you've got the option to send or receive money and or request
mm-hmm.
money. And so I'd already done that work before I started, before we started the call, like halfway during the call. I prepped that. So when she said she wanted PayPal, it was ready to just go, and she got it straight away. She was able to, because with PayPal it just says, this person wants some money, will you pay them? And she said yes, and it came back to me.
And
so
were you able to set up a recurring payment, or did she do a full
what
pay
happened?
Option?
She's paying me monthly. So I actually have to speak to PayPal, like Mary was saying, to find out exactly what's the best way to do it. Because at the moment, I've got it in my diary to just take payments on the same day every month. But I need to buy the handheld terminal anyway, the virtual terminal, for an event that I'm doing
uh-huh.
next week, where I'm selling the packages. I'm going to do a special package. It's a one-off event. So I've sort of designed
uh-huh.
a special package for the event to sell from the stage.
Yeah.
So I want to be able to take the payments there and then at the event. So that's
okay.
why I need the PayPal terminal. So I was listening to what you were saying about that.
If you're at a live event, you can ask PayPal for one of those card takers that you stick onto your phone.
Yeah.
For number
yeah, that's
one.
That's what I'm getting. So it's that's yeah.
But here's the other thing. Normally at live events, when you want to take sign-ups, the way that most people will do it in the industry is you create sign-up sheets that ask for their
yeah.
name, their email, all that stuff, and ask them to write down their credit card information. And then you go home with all the papers and you do the virtual terminal stuff that night.
Right, okay.
And that way nobody has to wait in line to slide their card. If that makes sense. Like, you don't want people to have to wait in line to slide their card in your card taker on your phone. It's much better if everybody can literally write down their credit card information at the same time and hand you the paper.
I've done that, Jenna. I don't know if you can hear me.
Uh-huh. We can?
I've done that. I've written my card information on a page in a room with a thousand other people. And
yeah.
Nobody is reluctant to do that.
Exactly.
Everybody
and we lost
does
Jenna,
it.
By the way. I know. We lost Jenna. She didn't respond because her call dropped. So she's going to, I'm sure, call back
oh,
in a moment. And, that, you know, industry-wise, that is the way it's generally done.
Yeah.
Unless, yeah, that's usually what I've seen industry-wide because it's really awful to have people wait in line. They'll leave the line because people don't like waiting in line. And hi, Ben,
yes.
I see you're back. Are you able to hear the last thing we
yeah,
said?
Yeah, sorry about
well,
that. We've got really rubbish signal. We've got rubbish weather
yeah.
over here at the moment for the...
Oh, okay.
Rubbish.
Basically,
sorry,
we were just saying...
You said the sign-up sheets is what I heard you say. The last thing I heard you say was the sign-up sheets, which I understand which makes sense.
Yeah, so create sign-up sheets, print them out, take them with you. And what
yeah.
people normally do, how many people are going to be in the room? Do you know, approximately?
I reckon at least 30, so a minimum of 30, because like, it's not my
okay.
event, so I'm just coming, I'm going.
Sure.
To
I just wanted to know if it was like 200 or, I just want
no,
to know if it was like 200 or
so.
30. So there's two common ways that it's done. One is there's a back table in the room, and you say if you'd like to grab that deal, go to the back table and register, and the first 10 people will also get this bonus.
Right, okay.
Such bonus. And that makes people want to go back faster. The other way to do it, which some say is more, can be more, well, the two methods are powerful for different reasons. So the reason that going to the back table is powerful is that other people see other people getting up and going back there, and it kind of inspires
yeah.
them to get up and go back there. The second method is print out enough pages that you have enough for everyone in the room, and when it comes time to say, to talk about your offer, then you can pass out the sign-up sheets and have some assistants or their staff or your staff hand out the papers as fast as possible. So what you normally do is, if the chairs are going to be in rows, you ask the promoter, what's the seating going to be like? Is it going to be like 3 rows of 10, or at least, you know, like, is it rows of 10 approximately? Because then before you go, let's say you print out 30 papers, you separate them into groups of 10 and you crisscross them in your stack so that you can really quickly hand a chunk of 10 to the first row, hand a chunk of 10 to the second row, hand a chunk of 10 to the third row. And let them, you want that passing out process to be as fast as possible. And and then everybody has the paper right on their lap and they can start filling it out right then and there. And one of the tricks is to say the call to action, the calls to action verbally. So even though it sounds silly to do because you're thinking people know how to fill out a form, it's useful to actually say, so go ahead and write down your name, your address, you know, your phone number and your information or your card information, something like that. I usually try to avoid using the word payment. Or money, because people have funny stuff around money. So like, you can avoid saying words like payment, money. You can just simply say, and then write down your card information, because that's very innocuous. Right. It doesn't usually trigger any stuff for people. You know, jot down your card information and bring it to the back table. So you have to like literally say the instructions, even though it's kind of clear what the instructions are. Because it just helps the process. It helps facilitate the process. And so those are two methods you can use. And then you would go home. You can wait until that night or that day to sign up for virtual terminal, or like the next day, because you don't even have to run the cards that night. You can run them the next morning. So you can wait until the next day to sign up for virtual terminal so that you're not paying for any extra days that you're not using yet, and then just run all the cards. Now, one of the things that's worth doing is if you can bring some friends with you to help be your quote-unquote staff, when people turn their papers in at the back table, it is useful to ask them to bring their card to the back table so to have the paper checked to make sure that we have, you know, to make sure we have the right card information. And the reason for that is people will accidentally transpose their numbers, or their handwriting is so bad you can't figure out the number or numbers. And so it's useful to have some friends as staff who can really quickly double check all the card information. That's the most important stuff. And then, of course, like the phone number would be the next most important thing, because you need a good way to reach them in case there's any problem, but also because once they pay, you need to reach them. And people's handwriting is notoriously bad, so their email and their phone number can be hard to read and hard to contact them, unless your friends take a look and just say, okay, so is your email jumpyfish29@gmail.com? And they're like, no, it's jumpyfishes29@, that should be an S. And you go, oh, and then your friend writes the S in more clearly. So those methods are all useful to make sure that you don't come home with somebody who wants to sign up and you have no way of contacting them and you can't read their credit card number, which happens more often than you'd think when it comes to people's handwriting.
Absolutely.
Or they leave off a number on their credit card. It's not even transposing. They just literally leave off a number. What was that?
No, I said, no, I can imagine how often that happens.
Yeah. So those are some tips for that piece. And so what have you, either of you, been experiencing or learning in your free consultation calls that you'd like some support around? Have you gotten to any parts of it where you have some questions or would like some savvy tips on how to make a part go smoother or easier?
I had one gal that was not only chatty, she was very negative about it, and I found myself feeling impolite at the idea of asking her to keep it simpler and keep it positive.
Okay.
This is an acquaintance.
Oh, gotcha. Why don't we practice that for a moment, polite interrupting?
Okay.
So first I'll have you ramble and I'll politely interrupt you, and then I'll ramble and you can politely interrupt me.
Okay.
So Mary, what's one goal that you have around business?
Yeah, I'm trying to invent something on the fly here. Well, I really don't want to have to
Hold on for one sec. In this first half, we want to speak only in the positive. So rather than letting me know what you don't want, what do you want instead?
Oh, right. I'm sorry.
No worries. That's what I'm here for. So that's an example.
Okay. Yeah. And then...
of the negative piece.
She would tell this long story about what happened to her last week.
Okay, great.
Know, a lot of detail that wasn't necessary.
Uh-huh. So I'm going to pause you right there for a sec. I actually have enough information for that question. And in the interest of time, because I want to make sure we have time for the second half, can I go ahead and ask you the next question?
Okay, very good.
So you don't even have to ask, can I go ahead and ask you the next question? You can say, in the interest of time, just because I want to make sure we have time for everything I want to cover today, I'm going to go ahead and ask you the next question because I absolutely have the information I need from that first question. So When you have blah, 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 what will having that do for you? So now I've just moved on to the next question.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's kind of flip roles, and the basic interruption is, ooh, I'm sorry, hold on a sec, or something like that. Let me pause you for a sec.
Uh-huh.
And then say what you need to say. So I'll start out by going negative. So let's see, what's one of my goals? Well, I really hate waking up tired. I'm so sick of insomnia and not sleeping well.
Hey, Dana, can I pause you for a second? In this part of the conversation, we are trying to stay in the positive.
We'll have
a section in the program for negative things later.
Oh, okay. That's right. I'm sorry. Now, if you apologize, you can say something like, no worries. It's hard to do, and that's what I'm here for. Or something like that, right? Like kind of reassure, because it is hard to do. So reassure them that it's hard to do, and, you know, we all, you can say, you could just keep it simple and say, oh, no worries, it's really hard to do, and so, as I said, I would just gently guide you back to the positive, so, you know, here we are, or whatever. Oh, yeah, it's totally hard to do, no worries, that's what I'm here for. Mm-hmm. And then you can actually rephrase the question based on what they just said. If you didn't have insomnia, what would you want instead?
So I
often try, as opposed to just leaving it as, no worries, that's what I'm here for, and then just stopping, it can be useful to then rephrase the question. And you can, if it's about a negative thing, like they've spoken in a negative and they've already mentioned the negative, it's useful to say, if you didn't have X, what would you have instead?
Okay.
And you can start with a so, because a so is a softener. So I just said so. So if you didn't have insomnia, what would you have instead? Or what would you want instead? What would you like instead? Yeah. And you did a great job of interrupting with politeness, with a sort of a softer, cheerful tone. That's a great feature.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go even softer, actually, when you get to the part where you're saying, we want to stay in the positive here, and we'll have full time to get in the negative later. So, you know, you're kind of becoming even more playful or cheerful to say that. Because that's the moment you kind of have to say what they've done wrong, and nobody likes to feel that what they've just done is wrong. And so being, you know, remaining quite cheerful when you say the whole thing can be very useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, lightens everything up.
Yeah, and so you did a great job with that. And I would dial up the softness even more on the part where you say, we want to speak in the positive right now. We have full time for negatives later. And you don't even have to say that part again if you don't want to. We want to stay in the positive mm-hmm. right now for this first part of the call. So if you didn't have insomnia, what would you have instead?
Okay.
What would you like instead, I would say?
So that's the main snag that I've run into is
okay, wonderful. Well, that's a very good snag to have if that's your main snag.
Uh-huh.
And it's again if someone rambles, so let me just ramble. You know, last week I was having such a hard time getting to sleep, and oh my goodness, the back pain that was going on, and I started getting a headache, and my legs were hurting. And like, man, I just
Dana?
Couldn't get to... Yeah?
Dana, I got enough information from your first sentence, and if we want to have enough time to complete this call today, I really need to move it along and get to the next question. So my next question is ... That was
great.
A very good one.
Awesome. Awesome. And so wonderful job coming in. You actually said my name to pause me. That's not something that I normally do. I usually say, ooh, hold on a second, pause. And that can be actually a useful tool. Because people's name can, you know, stop them pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And the little adjustments that I would do to how you said it is, and you might want to write this down just so you can practice the phrasing. The initial part is I'm going to pause you for just 1 second or something like that. I actually got the information I needed for that question already, or I got enough information for that question already. And I'm switching it to that as opposed to saying, I got enough information from your first sentence. The way that I'm rephrasing it a little bit just makes it a little bit lighter and a little bit less that they could feel like somehow wrong. Because people can be sensitive around this stuff, the feeling wrong part. That is so.
I felt a little heavy-handed.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, you're doing awesome. This is something that takes time to learn, and I also would say things stronger than they needed to be said in the beginning because I was a little bit flubbered from trying to think of what to say while I had to interrupt them, and
mm-hmm.
so. You know, you're just doing the best you can working off the cuff. But that's why I wanted to have you write this down so you can kind of mentally rehearse the phrasing a little bit so that you don't have to think on the spot as much. So that first part is, I got the information I needed for this question, and because I want to make sure we have enough time to get to the second half, I'm going to move us to the next question. And then you phrase the next question
mm-hmm.
Still in that upbeat voice.
Right.
So if you slept really well, what would having that do for you? Or whatever, you know, the next question is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you did awesome. It's a learned skill. Your voice, you're coming in actually with a fairly, in fact, you might want to try, just for the sake of it, not for the sake of dialing down what could feel harsh to someone, let's have you try saying it not quite as loud. You're doing great with the volume is useful in that people can hear you when they're talking.
Yeah.
Right? When you come in and say, Dana, hold on just 1 sec. The volume is useful in terms of stopping them from talking sometimes. However, part of what a lot of our childhood imprinting is around is when people talk in a louder volume to us and they're telling us that we've done something wrong, it can trigger some of our, we're being reprimanded from childhood stuff, is what I've noticed. And so let's actually play with starting softer, and then if you need to get louder because they haven't heard you, you can. Although normally what I do is, ooh, hold on a sec, I'm going to pause you. Ooh, just a sec, Mary. That's when you might throw in their name.
Yeah.
You know, Mary, one sec. So I don't mind if I have to say the hold on a sec a couple times. The thing that I don't want to do is lose rapport and trust with the client.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, rather than trying to be the most effective at having them stop talking the moment you try to politely interrupt, I'd rather have you have to say it a couple times, but gentler or softer, so that we don't risk as much rapport loss with the client.
Mm-hmm.
So let's basically, you can look at your notes right there that you wrote and kind
mm-hmm.
of read from it, but let's have you try the softer version first with me. So I'll ramble again. You know, last week I was trying to go to sleep and I was getting this migraine and my legs were hurting and my eyes were so dry and painful and I just couldn't get to sleep and it was, goodness, it was such a nightmare.
Can I pause you a second?
Oh, yeah.
Hi, yeah. I actually have enough information already for us to move on to the next question. And in order to finish on time today, I need to go to my next question or we're going to have to schedule a second meeting. Would that be all right with you?
Great voice tone, by the way. I love how you turned up the volume on the sweetness and the gentleness. Really nicely done. And I would still encourage you to stick with the sentence that I shared in that. And this is a really good thing for everyone to also notice. That is a way to say it, but that way of saying it is a little bit more punitive. There's a little edge of punitive or threatening in it, only in that we're saying the subtext that people can accidentally hear in that message is if you don't reel it in, you're not going to get your full session and we're going to have to reschedule. Like it can be a little bit, again, it conjures parent.
Yeah.
Like, you know, to the little kid, if you don't finish your peas, then you are not going to get dessert. And so
this is a
detail we don't want to avoid. A what?
This is a deep habit that I'm working on breaking.
Well, actually, I
kind
think
of
it's rather
authoritarian.
Oh, I see. Gotcha. Yeah, I think it's pretty normal that the things that you have said are the things that I also started out saying and I naturally hear most people saying. It's only that I've learned through trial and error that I've lost rapport with people when I've said it that way, and it's taken me, you know, years to learn the way to do it without losing as much rapport or any rapport, really. So don't at all worry about that. And I think that's a great intention you set of, I want to work on being able to speak with less authority in the moments I need to call that out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are great. That's a great problem to have, the problem that you're having, if that's the problem you're having is simply just trouble interrupting.
Yeah.
That's great. Jenna,
yeah,
any
no,
parts
the rest
of your...
Rest
of... Oh, good. Good. Jenna, how about you? Are there any parts of your calls that we can work with a little bit?
I'm pretty comfortable with the script because I found that because of the subject matter, my niche is so personal, and because I really feel it
mm-hmm.
just seems to flow effortlessly. So when it comes to things like, the only thing I've had to be mindful of is time, to keep people sort of like on track with time, because it's so easy to sort of deviate. So that technique of getting people to stop talking too much, I've instilled from the beginning, actually. So what I do is I say to them, I put loads of energy and excitement into the consult, and I'm really... We're not excited. I'm enthusiastic about the consult when I speak to them and I explain to them, look, you know,
We're going to talk about, for the first half, this session comes in two halves. And the first half we talk about is all about you, and we're going to open up your mind, and I really want you to be as creative and as dynamic as you possibly can and really use your vision. I'm only saying the positive, and if you stray from the positive, I'm going to bring you back again, back to the positive. Is that okay? And I ask their permission.
Yeah.
And they say yes. And then so when they start to ramble, I say, so hold on a minute, can you stop a second, babe? Let's just get you back. You've strayed off into the negative. Let's get back into the positive again. And they usually, because I've taken it from enthusiasm in the first place, they
yep.
Seem to roll. It's just easier to not manipulate, but to steer them.
Yes, facilitate because, well, conversation.
Those are the ground rules from the beginning. Was the fact that if you stray off, I'm going to pull you back. And I've asked your permission and you've said yes. So if I do it, it's okay because you know I'm not coming from a horrible place. I'm not reprimanding you. I've just explained to you that we need to stay on track. So that's worked for me.
Great. And so maybe, Mary, one way to blend the authoritativeness with the gentleness, if you will, is It's quite fitting Jenna's personality, the way that she's doing it, so it's quite congruent to her.
Mm-hmm.
One, she's made mention of, she makes sure that they say yes when she says, I'm just going to bring you back if you stray from the positive. Is that okay? And then they have to say okay at that point, in which case by the time that you interrupt them, they're expecting it. And so, you know, then it gives you a little bit more permission to be like, ooh, hold on one sec, we strayed from the positive. So if we said that in the positive, you know, if you didn't have insomnia, what would you have instead? That ends up feeling like an easier transition for you rather than turning up the volume on gentleness. Either way, I mean, I think it's a good skill to build anyways, to be able to fully come on with the gentleness while still being the facilitator of the conversation. I think it's a great skill to have, and you can also try out Jenna's method, which allows Jenna to be still more authoritative.
Mm-hmm.
However, she's bringing part of her brand, her personal brand, is a playfulness. So she's saying like, "Hold on a sec, babe, I'm gonna reel you back in." You know, like it feels friendly because she's saying "babe," and her energy like, "I'm gonna reel you back in," you know, doesn't feel. It's less likely to trigger the. Childhood stuff.
Uh-huh.
And so you can play with that and see what works for you. And another thing that you can do that both of you can do, that all of you can do since other people will be listening to this audio as well, is you can say to them, so when you first do the first goal, you can actually say, so what's one of your most important goals? Because then you know you're getting one of the juicy ones up front where you're doing the full process of feel into it, step out in the future, blah, blah, blah. Because with some of the later goals, we often don't go into that much process. And so trying to they're saying one of their most important goals first is useful. So you can actually say, so what's one of your most important goals? And then you can also begin to say things like, what's one of your most important goals in just one or two sentences? So you can tell people to speak in only one or two sentences, and they will. And sometimes they'll kind of go over, but at least they become conscientious and say, oops, that was more than two sentences. It was three. And you go, that's fine. You know, I just wanted to make sure that we keep it concise or keep it succinct so we have time for everything. The easier way to phrase, if you're going to bring up time, the better way to phrase it is to say things like, so we have time for everything, which is phrasing in the positive, rather than saying, so we don't run out of time and then have to blah, 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 which is phrasing it in the negative. I usually only bring out the negative when somebody's difficult to reel in multiple times. So when I've had to interrupt a lot and they're kind of not getting the message from the fact that I'm interrupting multiple times, then I might actually say, I just want to make sure we don't run out of time for all the other stuff later.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say, because then we have to reschedule, because I won't do it. I will not do half of a consult and reschedule the second half later. It just doesn't work. I will do whatever I can to shortcut the process to keep it only in one call. So if they end up taking up too much time in the first half, I end up having to shortcut the second half to make sure that it all remains in one call. Because what I found is breaking it up into two separate ones loses its power.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not as effective. So there's been times where I first get on the phone with somebody, and even though my email said, "But let's book a time where you have 90 minutes free or 2 hours free, a two-hour window," when we get on the call and I start saying, "Okay, this is, we're going to start the call, this is how the call flows," and they say something like, "By the way, how long is this going to take?" Or how long is this, you know, session going to be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, 90 minutes about. You know, I generally say set aside at least 90 minutes, if not 2 hours, just to be safe. And they go, "Oh, I didn't do that. I only have an hour." I say, "Okay, well, then let's reschedule," because uh-huh. there's no point only doing half a session, and it doesn't work to do the session in two pieces. So when's another time that you would have about 2 hours uninterrupted when you're by a computer with internet? And I keep it light, like I get my voices light right there, even though technically I could be upset because they've taken up one of my call spots, and now I've got 2 hours that I could have done a call for someone else, and they kind of like wasted that time because they didn't read the instructions, right? So you need to be careful that if you do feel agitated, you're still able to stay in the light tone of voice and, you know, say the, "Oh, well, you know, the session normally takes about 2 hours, and it doesn't work to cut it up in two, so let's reschedule. When's another time that you'll have 2 hours of uninterrupted time?" You know, and so staying mm-hmm. in that light energy so that they don't feel reprimanded, basically, is very powerful. It's very useful. You don't burn up any rapport.
Yeah. This is why I wanted to move on to people I don't know, is because I need practice
yeah.
with that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, okay, so Jenna, you were saying that you're not having any problems because this stuff is so close to who you are, it's very easy to go through. But for both of you, what about the third phase, which is the offer and the money conversation and the hesitations and the customizations, and then getting the sign-up? Do you have any questions or anything that we can play around with there?
No. I found it, the third phase to me was so, because the way when you stick to the script, the way it's
mm-hmm.
structured, and because I put so much energy, passion, I'm going to say passionate,
yeah.
by
yeah.
the time you get to like the third bit, even if the person isn't like me or they can't do it, they haven't been able to do it, it's a natural step because they're like, when we go through the second bit and we talk through the things that are negative and then we talk about, well, if I was able to help you with the problems that you mentioned, would you be curious about that? And they're like, yeah, because I'm actually convinced that what I do works. So there's no effort. For me, honestly, it hasn't been, I mean, I've only done six consults? It's Thursday, so six consults. So I'm not an expert, but so far I was quite anxious about that point, but it's fine. What I would say about the packages is it took me a while to figure out which way to get the packages because I couldn't remember which one to start with. I didn't know which one to start with. So what I did is I started with the small one. This is what worked for me. Is I started with a small one and went through what was in the package. And because I'd re-simplified it, I found it easy to talk about. It was so simple because I understood it myself. And so when you go from the small to the medium package, all I said was that so you get all the wonderful stuff in the first package. You get the group coaching. You get the freebies. And then what you do is you get more time with me, more one-to-one time with me in the medium package.
Nice. Okay.
And like, yeah. And
yep.
And then in the big package, in my accelerator package, what you get is all the fabulous things from the gold package, starter package. And I just reiterate what they are. So you get the group call and you get freebies. And then, but you get
uh-huh.
much more time with me and we get much more time to have a look at your issues and to really unpack what's going on with you. And you can pick my brain and I'll be able to help you more in that sort of personal space. Does that sound okay? And they're like, that's what seems to have worked, being able to just start off with the small one and build to the big one. By the time we get to the big one, all I'm saying is you get more, which is you get more of me. I give you more of me. So I'm not really reading the whole thing. Do you know what I mean? I'm not reading the whole thing.
Great. Awesome. Yeah, if your package is working through that way. Say that again?
Sorry. I said it's still early days for me, though. So, but that seems it just feels very natural.
Good.
And I think as I do more, because I've got more lined up for this week. Like Friday, tomorrow, I've got one lined up for tomorrow and some more for next week. So I'm sure that by the time I get into them, I'm fine. I actually feel quite confident. And I like the fact that I haven't. Good. They're people. What's really lovely is I don't know any. I lie. I knew one person who is the second person to sign with me. She's actually a friend. But when I spoke to her, I said to her, we're going to do this as I'm going to treat you like I would treat a client. So our friendship has nothing to do with this. This is purely about you and it's confidential, and reiterated that to her. So because I wasn't 100% certain if I wanted to work with people that I know. But she's not a close friend. She's not like one of my best friends. I wouldn't work with her that much. You know, she's kind of like a far enough away friend for me not to sort of feel uncomfortable and for her not to feel uncomfortable working together. So I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Okay, excellent. And Mary, is there any part of the phase three that we can play with, work on, explore?
Well, the one time I've really gotten to that point, it was a class member, and they wanted my middle package but only had enough money for my lower package. And then I thought, well, if it's my first customer, I'll give them what they want at the lower package just to have the customer to have the income. So
you mean you give them, you wanted to give them the middle package at the lower package price?
Exactly.
Okay. You can definitely do that in the beginning. However, one of the things that there's two things that can happen from that you might not like. One is people can tell other people that, number one, you'll just change the price if you just don't say that you have enough money.
Right.
Number two, if they meet somebody else, and later on someone's paying the higher package price and they only got it for $97, and it's like, wait a minute, how come, why? And so you might have some of that to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why is so-and-so getting it for $97?
Yeah.
I want to refund or whatever.
No, I'm aware of those. It's just where I was sure. At that moment was, I need a client.
Yeah.
And it just now occurred to me that I could say, okay, I can give you that for 3 months.
Right.
And at that point, it's going to go up to the next one.
Right. You can definitely do that. And you can, one of the things that can be useful is letting people know that, it's just how you say it. So you can say, let's see. How about this? How about we make an exception to the rule this time, and for the first 3 months, we can do that middle package at $97 a month, and then after that, it goes to $197 for the next 3 months. How about that? And it's a negotiation. So you're saying, here's what I'm offering. How about that? And say it in a inviting tone. And then they can, sometimes people will say, that's awesome. I'll take it because you are making this exception to the rule for this person. And the fact that you've made an exception at all is, you know, often sometimes enough for people. The things that I would normally encourage you to do in a situation like that are to say to them, to first try out saying, well, what people can do is they start off with the Gold Club, and they start out with $97 a month, and then later on they upgrade. So perhaps 3 months down the road, you upgrade, and we start bringing in some of those private sites. And just see what they.
I had done that, but she stuck to her gun.
Okay. And then in the second thing to do then is, well, if you'd like that middle package, one thing that we can do is it's $197 a month. If we brought it down, one thing we can do is we can bring it down to, say, $150 a month, like $147, and change the payment plan. So if we changed it to $147 a month, and instead we'd space out our sessions a little bit differently too. So instead of a session every 2 weeks, we would do a session every 3 weeks. How would that be? So we're changing the we're just basically spacing out the package a little bit so that we can bring you a different payment plan and see what they say about $147 a month. And if they say that's still too much, then we say, okay, well, we can cut the package in half then to make it that $97 a month. But what we do is we also cut we're basically extending the payment plan so that it's $97 a month, but that means we also do one private session a month over 12 months rather than two sessions a month, you know, because we're allowing you to accrue the payments over time. So basically I'm financing you.
Yeah. Carrying.
And then that would be the third thing I would say. So first thing is just be in Gold Club. Second thing is, okay, how about Platinum Club, but at $147 a month instead of $197 a month? And if they still can't do, you know, the 25% off, then we move to the 50% off. All right, well, then how about $97 a month for the middle package? And we split up the sessions, so it's a private session once a month, plus you're also on all of those group calls. So you've got four group calls a month plus one private a month for $97. And then the payment plan goes over 12-month minimum. And so that's the put in. So if they want the 97, okay, we could do the middle package at 97, but we stretch the package out into 12 months.
Uh-huh.
Now, granted, I'm not gonna say it in that voice.
Required.
Though.
Yeah, required 12 months. Becomes a 12-month minimum.
12-month minimum. Yeah. So instead of it being a 6-month minimum at $197, we just stretch it out. So we're cutting the package in half, basically, and we'll do it a $97 payment over a 12-month minimum, and then you can still have the private sessions, you'll still have the group courses, and that brings your payments down to $97 a month. So always end on the positive note, laughing out of your mouth. So, and that brings your payments down to $97 a month.
Yeah, that's going to take some practice, too.
And that way, if they're going to sign up for something with your private time, you're still guaranteed the $1,200 instead of only $600.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I get it now.
Great. One of the things that you can do that I suggest doing is from that call that we did on how to do the customizations, and I said when it comes to money, offer them in these options in this order. When it comes to not enough time, offer these options in this order. When it comes to changing what's in the package, offer these options in this order. What I recommend is you create a chart where it says, you know, like money, and then here's the different options in the order you would offer them. And then next to that, you would actually write down for each package what that would look like. So for example, the first customization I said when it comes to money is just have them go in the package they can afford, first of all. If they are refusing that, the next option is give them 25% off the package in terms of payment plan, like reduce it by 25%, but also shift the package so they get one session every 3 weeks instead of one session every 2 weeks if the middle package has, you know, two sessions a month.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'd like you to do is for each package, write down what that changes the cost to and how you need to reshift the sessions so that you don't have to do that math on the spot.
Yeah.
That way you can quickly, well, with the top package, if we cut that, if we did it, if we reduced it by 25%, I don't actually say out loud 25%, but if your top package is $500 a month, I would figure out on the calculator ahead of time what's 25% off of that, and then I'd figure out how we'd have to restructure the private sessions so that they're only getting what they've paid for so far that month. But I'd down so that when you get to that point in the call, you can quickly offer the numbers without having to say, hold on a sec, let me figure this out, let me get a calculator. Okay, it looks like if we brought the payments down to four, then let me see. Goodness, I got four sessions a month. If we did 400 a month, what would that be? We would have to do three sessions a month, and then that changes the minimum to, let me see, calculator, 9 month minimum, you know. So rather than figure that on the spot, which I've done, but for you guys, it's one more thing that can have you feel that you're on the spot and can make you feel more flustered in the moment. So I always say if it helps to have it written down ahead of time, just go ahead and do that so you don't have to think on the spot and feel flustered and trip on your words and your energy shifts because you feel like, oh, my gosh, now they have to wait. Relation.
Now, just as a question, how often do they come up with their own suggestions?
When you say what questions do you have?
No, when you're working on price packages, do they ever suggest an option to you?
Yes.
Or are they waiting for you to custom?
Both. So one of the things that I invite when I get to that point, and they're kind of saying, well, none of these quite fit or something, I'll say, well, we can use these three packages as a jumping off point. We can actually customize something just for you that fits you. So where there's a will, there's a way. Let's put our heads together and get creative. So what's something that might work for you? And sometimes people already have a sense of what they want to ask for, and they ask for it. And that can be useful in that sometimes the thing they ask for is much more minor than the first thing you were going to offer.
Uh-huh.
So for example, they might just ask for 15% off instead of 25% off and say, well, I could actually do this if it were $450 a month rather than $500 a month. That's only a $50 difference, but for whatever reason, it fits their budget better. And you go, okay, well, if we do it that way, then you would have to do a calculation on the spot because you weren't prepared for, you know, that different number, but that's fine. I've done calculations on the spot. You don't lose rapport with people. However, I just know that when people are new to learning the free consult process, anything that makes them feel like they have to do think something in the moment and think on the spot can make them more nervous. That's the only reason I'm saying take the time to figure out your stuff ahead of time if you are, you know, prone to feeling nervous on your calls. Later on when you get more comfortable, you know, I end up doing calculations on the spot and don't feel like any rapport gets lost, but that's also because I'm not feeling nervous anymore when I do it. I'm not feeling uncomfortable in any way. I'm staying empowered during that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing to be aware of is that when you open it up and invite them to say something, sometimes they'll say something that's an even better deal for you than you were going to initially offer them. It's like less trouble for you, so to speak, like only 10% off or something. Other times they'll ask for something that is way too much. And, for example, can I just have the middle package at the bottom package price?
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll want to practice very gracefully saying, well, I can't do that, but how about this?
Uh-huh.
How about we make the payments about $147 a month, and that brings it out to about an 8-month minimum. So how would that be? Now I still can't do $147. Okay, well, if you want to stick with that $97 price point, then we can try breaking it down to the $97 a month, and then we'll have a 12-month minimum. Or, you know, it moves the package into a 12-month minimum package, and that still gets you the $97 price point, and it still gets you your private session. It's just that we restructure how often we speak, you know, or whatever. So
yeah.
Be sure that when they come back with something that's asking too much or kind of, you know, going more than what I generally say is a general rule not to do, then make sure that when you come back, you're doing it very gracefully.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't want to be in a serious ton of like, well, no, we can't do that. Right? No, we can't do that.
You say, well, no, that wouldn't be fair to the other people in the class paying the $200.
And I don't even say that unless they ask why or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just say, well, we can't do that, but we can do, and just say it like it's the rules, right? Like,
yeah.
Well, we can't do that, but we can do. And then if for some reason it comes to a point where you need to say, well, a reason that you can say, well, it's just not fair to the other students in the course, or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Again, keeping your voice upbeat.
Mm-hmm.
And so the last thing I wanted to mention to the both of you is to rename your free consult. We don't want to call it a free consult. I'm calling that it a free consult internally. For the purposes of our accelerator.
Uh-huh.
But when you actually talk about it to the public, you'll want to give it a cool name of some kind. Oops, Jenna, sorry. Called
yeah.
back in and I didn't.
I renamed mine. I'll ask you whilst I've got you on the line because I keep playing with it. I can't settle on it. It's called
okay.
Weight Off My Mind. What do you prefer, Weight Off My Mind or Weight Off Your mm-hmm. Mind? I don't know which way round I prefer it. Weight off your which one do you think is better?
The general rule in marketing is that the word you and your is what's favored by people, by humans.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And so I would lean towards that one only because in what I've learned about marketing, they say that humans like when the word you and your shows up.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Because I wasn't sure. Because It sounded right,
but
sometimes
you're
it didn't
right.
sound right other times.
Weight
no,
off
I
my
agree.
Mind.
I agree. I absolutely agree.
Yeah, weight off my like something off my mind. It's off my mind. It's off your mind. Well, I guess both phrasings work.
that's really helpful, Dana.
I was thinking that most of the time in English, the phrase that is used
yeah.
is well. That's a weight off my mind or something like that.
Yeah.
But actually, people do say, well, that's a weight off your mind, that's a weight off your back. So people do actually say it both ways, vernacularly or colloquially. So I was just trying to test with the way that the phrases usually work used in the English language, how is it used? It's actually used both ways. I was thinking weight off my mind was more the only way it's used, but it's not. People do say, well, that's probably a load off your mind, right? And so colloquially it works both ways. Marketing-wise, they say that humans tend to prefer the word you and your in marketing.
Yeah.
But one thing that you can also do is do a little bit of a market research by asking some folks who are actually in your population which one they're more attracted to. So not just asking. One of the things that people sometimes do is they just put it up on Facebook and then say, they ask everyone to vote, which you can do. Hey, everyone, just your friends. Hey, everyone, you know, I give away some free sessions for folks who are wanting to drop weight, and I'm playing between these two names. Which one do you feel more attracted to? You can do that, and that can get you some good data, although you also have people voting who are not part of your population, in which case it might skew the results.
Yeah.
And so the other thing to do is to then ask people who are in your population.
Yeah. Because my talk is my actual talk. When I stand up and my talk is called Weight Off My Mind because it's my talk and I'm talking about me. But when I'm referring to the program, I'm thinking, is it Weight Off Your Mind or is it Weight Off My Mind? I don't know. It's not that important. It's just one of those. It's just sort of looking for feedback. But I'll go with yours.
Yeah.
Because now I'm looking down at my paperwork. I've actually written it. I'm looking at something that came back from a client, and I've actually written it as Weight Off Your Mind.
Okay.
So I think I'll just stick with your then. But when I'm talking about myself, it's when I'm referring to me, it's my mind.
I thought that you were going to have two very different titles that we were going to choose from. You know, these two titles are pretty similar, and who knows, it may not make that much of a difference. It's hard to say.
It's just personal. It's just a personal buggy thing for me, because I found myself like flipping between the two. I just wanted an opinion, but
The rule in business is to always split test or do the market research.
Yeah.
So we can always go with what our best educated guess is, but your best information is always going to be from split testing. You know, 50% of the people hear it one way, 50% of the people hear it the other way. Try to notice if there's a difference in sign-ups.
Okay. That was that.
And then market research is the other method of actually talking to people in your population and saying, hey, if I were to offer you a program that helps you lose weight and these are it's between these two titles, which one are you more attracted to? A program or a session or whatever. And Mary, I saw your email asking if you could swipe someone's name. And yeah, people use similar names all the time. Like one of the common phrases that gets used is like discovery session, right? Like that one ends up getting used a lot.
Okay. Yeah.
And people all over the place are using it. And so I find it's fine to end up having a similar name for things. And at the same time, if you are able to tweak it a little bit more to make it your own, that's great also, because the branding fits you better, but also nobody gets confused if they see someone else's stuff. Nobody thinks that if they do the other person's versus yours, they're going to get the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the name of the one that you were thinking of swiping?
Profit Activator Session.
Now, the thing that I am cautious of in the naming of sessions is when you have a result-based name, then what people expect is that by the end of the session, they're going to have that result.
Okay.
And so
another one he used was Customer Clarity Session, and that one feels better.
Okay. The only thing that I'm less certain about with that one is one, it's a little bit less juicy. I wish I could turn up the volume on the pizzazz a little bit of the title. Like it feels a little bit more flat than I'd like it to be. And people also don't necessarily know what it means. Customer clarity, like what does that mean? Does that mean I'm getting clear on who my customers are? Does that mean, you know, and what? And for that matter, if that is what they think, why is that valuable? Why would I want to sign up to figure out who my customer is? I already know who my customer is. It's people who want to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it were me, I would probably want to veer towards something that has a little bit more pizzazz and something that, if they can't make sense of it, holds a sense of mystery and intrigue rather than sounding like, I don't ever want people to think, oh, that, I don't need that.
Uh-huh.
They can make an assumption that customer clarity, what's that? I already know who my customer is. I don't need that. I don't want that. I don't want the name to accidentally deter people is what I'm trying to be cautious of here. So, by the end, you have to think about, if you're going to do a results-based name, that by the end of your free session, if they don't sign up, what results are they still walking away with?
Okay.
So, for example, one of the names that I've played with for my sessions is something like a entanglement mapping session. And the reason I call it a mapping session is that if they don't sign up to work with me, by the end of the free session, they are going to walk away with a map of the clusters of entanglements that are active for them. So they are going to walk away with conscious awareness of some of the things that they didn't know before, that they didn't have clarity on before, that are affecting, you know, them from getting what they want in life. In your business, you'd be mapping out what's missing in their marketing. So it's almost like a marketing app session.
Okay.
For example. Because they're going to walk away with, well, this is the part of your, this is the map of what's missing in your business that could be bringing you more customers.
Mm-hmm.
Video, you know, blogging, all the stuff that they might not be doing, online, lead generation, growing a list.
Emails, yeah.
So, you might throw another adjective in the beginning of that. So it might be like, I don't know why this is what's coming to mind. I wouldn't necessarily use this, but like stellar marketing mapping session. That's not the adjective I would use. But what I mean is like stick another word in there that gives it a little bit more.
Well, that makes a nice an acronym, SMMS.
So, yeah. You can play with that a little bit. That's what to consider when you're doing a results-based name. You know, discovery session, that's kind of results-based, but it's also a little bit process-based. It's like, oh, we're doing an exploratory session, which also people call their sessions exploratory
mm-hmm.
sessions. And don't worry about sticking, like choosing a final name. You can play with new names all the time. So choose something that's good enough for now, and then just roll with it for a while until you get another idea that you want to try out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, numbers are my friend. Words, not so much.
Yeah, so, you know, traffic explosion session.
That's
still kind of accurate.
Specific.
It's still kind of accurate in that you aren't telling them how to do it, but you're telling them what they need to do that's missing. You need to grow a list.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have a list builder on your website. You want to have a blog on your website. You want to have a website. You want to
right.
do some video marketing, grow your presence on YouTube, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can explode your traffic if you do these things. So that term to me, still works as a results-based name, because at the end they are walking away with a map of what they would need to do to explode their traffic. They're not walking away with a step-by-step how to do it. They have the map. They know what they need to implement.
Right. Okay.
And then you're basically just offering to be their teacher and implementer. So, yeah, good, excellent. Well, wonderful. And Jenna, how's it going with marketing? Like, where are you getting customers? Are you using the Facebook method and your signups are mainly coming from there or somewhere else?
My signups have come from Facebook. But I have been, I've used Facebook, and that's been the primary source, and I've been using Twitter. And what Twitter's actually done hasn't necessarily got...
I'm sorry, my darling, can you move the microphone closer to your mouth? There we go.
It was in my hair. Okay, so Facebook has generated a good response, and even people who haven't necessarily contacted me to for a session, I've had my Facebook pages of my likes have gone up, so that's gone up a lot. So I think I've got in the last week I've got 25 or 30 new likes, which was
on your business page.
Yeah. So and that's in the last week that's happened last. Well, since I've been advertising on Facebook, that's gone up, and that's through no effort of mine. And then
right. How do they know about your business page, though, with your – if you're advertising on your personal page, how do they know about your business page?
Because I believe that my – everyone who knows about my personal page knows that I have a business page as well. So I've had people contact me to befriend me who I don't know. These are people I don't know, and so I haven't befriended them. But I've also got my business pages on my profile.
Okay, great.
Been sharing my pages. People, my friends, I was just curious. Sharing my stuff.
Great, because the other thing you can do is link your page in your posts, even though it's coming on your personal timeline.
I've been doing that.
Okay, great. How they would have access to it.
Yeah, I've been cross-pollinating, I think, is the best way to describe everything.
Yeah.
So
and
I
what
have,
about Twitter?
Honestly, because I don't know. You're asking me a technical question there. I don't know how I've done anything. I just do it.
So
I've been cross-pollinating. So when I advertise on Twitter, I put the link to my Facebook page. And there's also like a little mini ad. You know, you can only use 140 characters or something. So I put something in the Twitter ad that then links back to my Facebook page. So I don't know if that's how people are finding me, because none of these people, I don't know any of them. So they're not like friends of mine. But my friends have been posting for me as well, which has been cool.
Great.
And then, so that's where people are coming from. And also, I use Clout. So that kind of links everything together. So when it does a post for me, I've scheduled my posts. So it posts on Facebook and Twitter, and I also post on LinkedIn as well. So everything seems
great.
To be, like I said, cross-pollinating. So that seems to be quite nice. I need to sort of spend more time doing that. But I also am focusing, I'm just trying to think, what am I doing? I'm focusing on the marketing. Marketing is my priority at the moment. But doing the consults as well, and also building content, because now I've got people interested in me. I suddenly feel quite pressured to provide something for them to read. And I felt quite inspired. So I've been posting. I've been posting just as and when, just to keep people interested, because there's nothing worse than an inactive page. So I've been doing that and just keeping lots of.
What have you been posting? Did you say?
Kind of out there. I've just been posting. So, all right, I've been more conscious about making sure I post on social media, not just, I've got this great giveaway, but also stuff that's good as well, so quality content
and
as
I was
well.
Asking,
and
are you
not
doing
been
video?
Hard.
Are you doing video?
Yeah, I've got a YouTube channel. I've got my YouTube channel, which has got a video on. I need to do some more videos. I did one today, funnily enough. So I need to upload that as well. But I'm very aware that now that people are I've got to keep the momentum going, but it doesn't have to be hard. I'm not making it hard on myself. So it is literally just making sure that I consciously post. I post something that keeps me relevant, just keeps me, you know, keeps me in people's faces and in their minds, just there, ticking over. Yeah, apart from that, yeah, I'm okay. The other thing I did want to ask you, though, was about, I just want to get clarity on the, because I was looking at the videos that you posted about the conference calling. And I know you answered my message, so I just want to get clear about what my, because I was confused about what to do with regards to how to post my conference call, which is my group call, which I've got coming up next week. So I'm like, okay, I don't actually know what I'm doing here.
Gotcha.
So how do you manage that?
You're using a free conference call line, is that correct?
Well, I don't know. I haven't chosen one yet, which is why I wanted to ask you,
what's
the best way
to
go about
it. So, for example, you can choose you can choose any of the four that I showed you. Feel free to take a look at what's a little bit different about each of them. Or you can just pick one and just start. And then if you need to change later, just give tell everyone, hey, we're changing numbers. Here's a new number, right? So you can just, like, pick one to start if you want. And it will give you a dial-in number and an access code for you, the host, and an access code for the clients. So whoever's in those group calls, you would just email everybody, here's the, you know, number to dial in. And then if you go into the help section of whichever program you choose, it will teach you the dial pad commands. And so normally, many platforms use similar commands. So when people first get on, you push either *9 to start recording, or you're logged into the dashboard on your computer and you just push the record button. And then when you're done, everyone just hangs up. And then you go into the dashboard, into the recordings tab, and you'll see that the recording is there. Mm-hmm. And then you have the option to download it yourself. You click a button, and the audio downloads to your computer, and technically you could send that file to everyone. However, there's an easier way to do it, which is to, I think there's generally like a share button, and then a little window pops up, and you get to choose things like, are people allowed to download it or only listen to it online? Depending on how you feel about wanting and how you want to do things, I usually say only listen to it online so that people cannot download and then share the file, which has people's confidential conversations on there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I make what it does, what that window does, is it creates a link you can send to your clients. When they click on the link, it takes them to a page where they can listen to it online. And with some of the programs, you can set an expiration date. So not all of them have this, and I don't remember off the top of my head which do, but the link automatically expires within a month, and that's another way that people can't share the link with someone else, and then 2 months down the road, someone else is listening to your program for free, but also listening to confidential information. So, so you can set expirations on it, or at the very least, you can just have it hosted through their website, the free conference call website. You create a link, it gives you, you know, you set it up so that, another thing that you can set up is don't let people see the callers, because otherwise people can see the phone numbers that people have dialed in with. So basically you set it to listen online only, no download, don't show the dashboard, don't show the phone numbers, and if there's an expiration date, you can set an expiration date, and then you basically, it creates a link for you, and then you're done. So...
Right.
That's the gist
of it. That's fine. Is that what Maestro does? Is that what you use? That's what you use, isn't it?
Maestro. I use Maestro, but don't start with that. It costs, and there's no point in you paying for it when there's the free options out there. The reason I'm paying for it is a different functionality that they have for running large networking events where you want people to go into groups or dyads. However, there's one of the free services actually also has that. They have things like a chat room and breakout rooms, and you can move people into groups, and it's free. So I always say when you're – I can't remember off the top of my head. It's definitely one of the free ones.
Okay, I'll look it up.
And I do recommend just taking a moment to look through all four that I've shown you, and just they have a page that says features. So just look at their features, see which one appeals to you. Because some of them let you have like a different announcement, like a personalized announcement in the beginning, like, well, welcome to the Weight Off Your Mind program, whereas the rest of them will say, you know, welcome to free conference call. This call may be recorded. We'll now connect you.
Okay.
So, yeah, I always say, especially at the beginning of a business, cut all corners. Don't pay for anything if you can get away with not paying for it. If you can find a free way around it, do it.
Fine by me.
Yeah.
That's absolutely fine by me.
Yeah, stick with the free ones.
I think that's it.
They need to pay for, and really for the life of your business, I say, like, go that route if when you can, because it helps you build your wealth, and then you can use that money to invest in other things. So there's no point in paying for extra stuff when there's free reasons. So yeah.
Well, you know me, I'll you know what I'm like, I'll just do it and see what happens. Just jump in.
Exactly.
And see what happens.
Exactly.
And I will learn like lightning as always. So yeah, and that's fine. But it's just the stuff about the technical stuff, not knowing where to begin, that's a bit of a thing for me. But once I'm there, I'm fine. But that's cool. I'm sure I'll be
Yeah, and
okay.
Most of those free conference lines have a phone number you can call in and ask questions. So there's actually live people you can say, so let me just make sure I understand this. This one comes with breakout rooms. Okay, how do I make that happen? You know, not that I would tell you to try to play with that at the moment. You know, you probably don't need to be trying to figure it right now. But, yes, you can talk to a live human and ask them some questions.
Okay, that's cool.
If need be.
Well, considering I've only got 2 clients to work with, that's fine.
Well, that's excellent. And you can use them for recording your private sessions, too. I do. When I have a private session with someone, I record all of them. And depending on what the content is, if it's business, I let them have access to re-listen to the audio so that they can take better notes and rewind, blah, blah, blah. If it's the family entanglement work, I don't let them listen to it because they should only experience the session once. They should not go back and re-experience the session. So I record that for my own purposes in case I say or do something different that I'm like, ooh, I want to take a note on that. But I can't stop in the middle of what I'm doing. So I'm going to record this later on. I just write down the time, like, oh, I did something cool at 12:50. And then later on I fast forward the tape and go back to that moment, and then I can take the note I want to take. Because you'll end up saying and doing brilliant stuff in the moment that just channels out of you that you had no idea was in you, and then you think, oh, I want to write that down because I want to make sure to say that from now on, like in my speeches and with my free consults. I really liked how that came out. I really liked how the client reacted. Clearly, that's a good way to say that. That's why I always say just record everything you do, all of it. Anytime you do a speaking engagement, record it. Anytime you do private sessions, record it. Anytime you do group sessions, record it. Record it all. You can always end up repurposing parts of things that you record for other stuff, especially your speaking engagements. You can end up bundling that in a package and giving it away as one of your bonus gifts for your packages.
Isn't it? That's really cool.
Yeah, so just record everything from now on. You can always end up creating new products, and you can end up creating paid products out of it, right? You can just take 5 talks that you did, bundle it together, and have it be like a $10 product that's an introductory product for people. And it gets you a little bit of extra cash while it gives them a whole bunch of exposure to you and what you can do, and it educates them and all that good stuff.
So,
And Mary, any last parting burning question?
Nope.
Okay.
I'm good. I have some stuff to review.
When you choose that new name, will you resend everybody the new blurb that we can post for you?
Sure.
With that. And then,
Yeah, I will do that.
All right, wonderful. Well, ladies, thank you so much for hopping on here. I'm so impressed with where each of you are at, and the questions that you're having are showing me that you are both on the right track. And you know, Mary, that one of your main problems is simply just interrupting is fantastic. it's a great skill to learn. So I'm excited to witness and watch your growth in that arena. And Jenna, great questions. Keep on going, both of you, with the marketing, so that we can get you more practice. And when you discover any new questions you have, please, shoot me an email with your question, so that you don't necessarily need to wait until the next time we do a call to get your answer. So I don't want you to, like, sit on questions that you have the moment, like, right after you get off a free consult. If you're like, ooh, this one thing happened that I want to ask Dana, just shoot me the email right then while it's fresh.
I can do that.
Great.
Okie dokie.
All right, ladies.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Go out
Thanks.
There, have a great time with your practices, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Dana.
All right. Bye, honey. Bye.
Bye, Mary.
Bye.
Bye-bye,
Dana.
Bye, Mary.
You are currently...